has caused me pain, things I just don't understand. I must recount your faithfulness and the mercy of your hand. When everything is said and done, and there's nothing left to say, the cross of Christ is proof enough. You are good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy, Lord, has pierced my heart. It brings me to my knees. In reverent fear, I'll trust your ways and worship at your feet. Everything is said and done, and there's nothing left to say. Cross of Christ is proof enough. You are good. You are good. You are good. Yes, you are, Lord.
You are good. Lord like a friend. Amen.
I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I want to know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord. I'm laying down all my religion. Box you in, but I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord. I used to think that I could box you in.
gospel, I will rejoice in you, Lord. I will rejoice in the simple gospel, and I will rejoice in you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise him this morning. We rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in the simple gospel that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. And Lord, we know that there is none good, no, not one, that we have all sinned and come short of your glory, and that even, Lord, in our best state, we are altogether vanity. You make us good. It is your blood that makes us righteous. It is you and your precious blood shed on that cross that washes our sins away. It is by your Spirit. It is by your grace. It is by your power. We are all nothing. But in you, we are your children, your people, here for such a time as this. It's amazing to think, Lord, that you ordained that we should be here at this time. Before the foundation of the world, you knew every choice we would make, and you formulated a plan for us. And we choose this day to walk in your will and not our own will. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Good to have everybody here. Those watching and listening, welcome you to Fire and Grace Church. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Doesn't mean there's no suffering. Doesn't mean there's no pain. Doesn't mean that there's no loss at times. But he's good all the time. And you got to let him be your comfort. And you got to let him be your peace. And you got to let him be your healer. And not just your healer of your body, but the healer of your heart. Bible said, Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. But you got to believe that, just like you would believe for physical healing. And let me just say for the record, somebody accused me this week. There's been a lot of accusations flying around. Somebody accused me this week saying I could do miracles. No, I can't. And Jesus can't. I think I've been clear about that, but just in case. We just believe Jesus hasn't changed. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that if we ask him and believe, he will do those things, not us. I can't do anything without Jesus. Jesus has to do it. Amen? But speaking of that, what I feel like I'm supposed to speak to you about today is that you better just brace yourselves because persecution is about to increase. I want you to go with me first. We're going to John 16. I've been noticing it's been getting more vicious lately. And maybe it's because I'm out in public more. I don't know. I've always, ever since we started the church and really started broadcasting online and that kind of exploded in 2015, I've ran into a bunch of a group. I'm just going to call them the mean Christians. Now, I know people think I'm mean because I just tell the truth. And I don't put up with foolishness in church or witches trying to infiltrate or anything like that or deep state agents coming in church and trying to act like Christians and divide us. But this is something that Jesus taught here, and we're going to go again, John 16. And actually, you know what? We're going to back up. There's so much good here. I mean, it just all of this has been stirring in my heart this morning. Well, let's back up to verse 18, though. I guess it gives it context. But, I mean, chapter 15, verse 18. I'll get it straight in a minute here. Because then we'll read through into chapter 16 as well. But this is Jesus speaking to his disciples here, and he said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not known sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. And think about this. He's talking about his own people. He's talking about the Jews at this point. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, and many of the Israelites. He said, I did things that no other man ever did. He said, they hated me. And in verse 25, well, let's read verse 14. He said, if I had not done among them the works which none of the man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. The word offended there is the Greek word scandalon, and it means to stumble or fall, or to be into a trap. So the Lord's saying, I'm telling you these things, that you're going to be persecuted, that you're going to be hated. I'm telling you these things so that when they happen, you won't stumble and fall. You won't give up and quit. You won't be discouraged. You won't feel defeated. Too many of us, again, give in to the human side, the flesh side, the weak side of us when we start getting persecuted for our faith in Jesus. And isn't it amazing? You can be anything in this world and they leave you alone. Be a Buddhist, you'd be a Hindu, you'd be a Muslim. Pretty much everybody leaves you alone, right? You'd be an atheist. But start talking about Jesus. Here comes the hatred. And it's going to get more intense as the days approach us. So Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended or stumble. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So the Lord warns them. You're going to be hated. If they hated me, he said, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they keep my sayings, they will keep yours also. Because true disciples, what? We just say what Jesus said. So it's real simple. Really, in fact, the term Christian, supposed to be, believers got the term Christian put on them because they acted like Jesus. Right? They said what Jesus said. They lived like Jesus lived. But folks, the hatred is growing. You know, I heard about it over the last few days, but my mind is blown that Biden and his evil administration has just put together the governmental, what is it called? The, why am I forgetting? Well, it's the governance, I can't remember now, but it's a government, Department of Homeland Security. So that's a law enforcement agency with guns. That's going to have the governance of disinformation. All right, now this is straight out of 1984, Orwell's 84, Ministry of Truth, right? And every dictatorship that ever comes into being always sets up something to control the flow of information, and that you only get one side of the story, which is the side that the state wants you to have. It's unbelievable that we are watching the crumbling of American ideals, principles, and of freedom. It's really amazing. Had Trump started this little office in the Department of Homeland Security, these same people would have been losing their minds. Disinformation Governance Board with the Department of Homeland Security, an agency that has guns and lots of ammunition. And he says they're going to go out and start looking into individuals who haven't necessarily committed a crime, but just don't talk like the rest of them do. Now, I believe Orwell, who wrote 1984, and Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, they were part of the, they wrote about it because they knew that that was their goals. They were part of the evil plan of Satan. You know, Aldous Huxley was deep into occultism. Orwell was in the, you know, the communist socialist societies of his day. They knew this is where society was going to go, because they knew most of society would end up following Satan. But mark it down, what they hate is anybody that actually thinks for themselves, does not accept their propaganda, right? And the main people who don't do that are true Christians, not just Christians. You hear what I'm saying today? True Christians, born again Christians, Christians who are being led by the Holy Spirit, because there's a whole group of Christians that are not being led by the Holy Spirit. They listen to the media. They're children of the media. That's all they consume, is the propaganda of the state. And they are the ones that are going to end up killing you and I and thinking that they're doing God a service. Now, this has happened in history. This happened, you know, the Jews believed that they were following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when they killed Jesus, when they went after the apostles, when they began to kill the early Christians. And this happened with the Roman Catholics. The Roman Catholic Church is not the true church of Jesus Christ, and it never has been. Now, I'm not saying there's not true Christians in the Catholic Church, because there are. But the institution has been corrupt from day one. It's always been corrupt and evil. And I love what Leonard Ravenhill called the Roman Catholic Church. He called it the greatest forgery Lucifer ever made. And it's true. But the Catholic Church did this. The Catholic Church proclaimed itself to be a Christian church and began to kill true Christians for centuries. This is why, and folks, I want to tell you, don't give me this stuff, the United States is Mystery Babylon. It is not. Mystery Babylon is clearly revealed as the Roman Catholic institution. And it says she is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Why do you think the pilgrims fled Europe to come here? They were fleeing Roman Catholic persecution. America was founded from people fleeing, Christians fleeing other people who called themselves Christians, who were torturing and killing them. Our early leaders of our country understood the danger of the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits. In fact, they kept them out. They found out somebody was a Jesuit. Bye-bye now. And the Jesuits are still with us. Anthony Fauci's a Jesuit. Their sworn oath to kill the Protestant Christians has been recorded in Congress. But this is just a couple. Do you think that it's over? That spirit, that evil spirit, has gone away? No. We have been told in the Bible that in the last of the last days, there will be another wave of persecution against the true, born-again, spirit-filled, spirit-led, Jesus-loving, Jesus-the-only-way Christians. And even last night, I had to block two guys calling me curse words and names, and then I look on their Facebook page, and they're supposed to be Christians. And I'm like, it's these little soy boys I almost told them. I was like, you just little boys trying to talk to a man. You need to stop. Got a little too much estrogen running through them. They're a little emotional. But I'm like, these are the Christians who are going to come for us. Especially, we won't take their vaccine or their chip implanted that they want to do to us. Oh, yeah. Oh, especially, oh, I'm the lunatic because I don't believe NASA. Wait a minute, Christian. NASA says the sun came first and then over millions and millions and millions of years in the earth. It's funny, Christian. Genesis says the earth came first and the sun was created on day 4. So call me crazy for believing the Bible. But it's those kind of Christians right there that don't believe the book that have this pseudo-Christianity. That really have this hatred for you if you actually believe the book and not their NASA church and their NASA priest. Or their government priest, like Fauci. Lose their minds. What? You're not vaccinated? No, I didn't take a knee. Bunch of Christians that took a knee to the beast. Not taking a knee. Amen? And see, there's another thing. Why do you think I've been kind of riding you the last few weeks about knowing Jesus, about hearing, learning to hear his voice, making sure you dig into and know the scriptures? The problem with these little soy boy Christians, these little girly men out here, these little mega church sycophants, the problem with them is they don't believe this book. They don't read this book. They don't study this book. They don't believe every word is inspired by God. They don't believe every word's important. And when their little media, their little government institutions tell them something different, they believe that. And this is why people don't talk about division. Truth divides. Jesus said that the sword of his word will divide even families. Y'all want to read that? Let's read that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10. People want to act like a family being divided is a bad thing. It's bad, but it's not always for a bad reason. It happens. Because truth divides. Let's look at this. I love these little soy boys running around. We can't have division in the church. Oh, it causes division. Let me tell you something. If you're in error, son, and I'm in the truth, we're divided. I don't care what you call yourself. Unity at the sake of truth or forsaking truth is not true unity. Matthew 10, I guess I ought to turn to it. I remember reading this when I was a young man. And boy, did I ever see the battles in my own family. Man, when you come in preaching the gospel to your unsaved family members, you think there's not going to be some division? Here's what Jesus said. Let's just read. Oh, let's read from verse 26. Y'all don't mind reading a little bit of the Bible? So my enemies know I don't, you know, they'll tell me, he doesn't preach the word. He doesn't go to the scriptures. And I'm like, did you stick around longer than 5 minutes in the broadcast? Because we usually go through quite a bit. Y'all, I have so many critics. I got one crazy woman still chasing me down. She even creates new profiles on Facebook so she can find new ways to attack me. I think she's a witch anyway, from what I saw on her page before she deleted it, the stuff, but I screen captured it. I got a bunch of little Satanists, little witches running around trying to attack me and discredit me and all kind of stuff. But Sorry, little witchy poos. We just love Jesus around here. Here's what, let's read this. Jesus speaking, he says, fear them not. Basically, he was talking about, let's back up. I need to back up a little further. Let's just read some more. Let's go back up to verse 16. I guess I need to read from there. Same, the heading in my Bible is disciples should expect persecution. So I guess that's a good place to start. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye or you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And look at this. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death. And the father, the child, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Does that sound like unity? What is this over? Truth. God's truth. The Word of God. The true gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what this is over. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So look, if you ain't been called any names lately for Jesus, it's time to start living for him a little more. I've been called, what have I been called? False prophet, the spawn of Satan. What is it? Pure evil. Y'all, that's not even a bad one, man. The bald guy. He said the bald guy. Look, folks, there's only a few perfect heads. Got to put hair on the rest of them, right? And I remember the bald guy in the Bible had a double portion of the anointing. So be careful about, there could be bears coming out of the woods in a minute. But they're going to call you stuff. Look, if they're not calling you something, what are you doing? I've been called everything in the book, man. What I love is when they call me, like, you know, stupid or something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure my IQ is much higher than yours, but we won't go there. Right? It's crazy. So let's keep going. Jesus said, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetop. So the Lord's telling us to hear him. And hear him speak to us, and for us to speak boldly what he speaks to us. He said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are not all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Here it is, the verse. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth or tries to keep his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Could that not be more clear? You will be persecuted. You will be hated. The truth of Jesus Christ, Jesus told us, is a sword. It will divide even families. And the Lord's telling us he allows this to happen because it's going to prove, do you love him? Do you love Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God Almighty in the flesh? Do you love your Creator more than you love your husband, your wife, your children, or your stuff? Persecution comes to put us to the test. Lip service about Jesus. A lot of people talk, oh, I love Jesus. Really? How about if it comes to losing your job? A lot of people have had to make that decision recently. Yeah, a lot of stuff. It's tough. And it's tough when the ones you love don't see what you see, don't know what you know, don't feel what you feel, haven't studied what you've studied. And you're trying. You want them to. You want them to see it. You want there to be peace and unity and love and everybody holding hands going in the same direction. But that's not what we've been promised. Jesus, as a matter of fact, you want a promise from Jesus. In this world, you will have tribulation. That means trouble. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. See, Paul said it this way. He said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us when he comes, when we are with him, or when we go to be with him. The Lord has eternity, and he has things for us in eternity. He said, you can't even comprehend what he has planned for the people who love him for all eternity. So the little window of time, the little hint, the little breath of time that we're here in this flesh, in this life, in this realm, in this age. That's why James said it's just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You're going to see sometimes your children break your heart, or your parents break your heart, or your best friends, you think, or your best friends forsake you and break your heart. That's the way it is. You are not going to escape it. We live in a world where many people are influenced. They listen to demons constantly. That's what's influencing them. They don't even understand. They think it's their own mind and their own thoughts, but they don't understand that there's demons speaking to them and leading everything they do. That's why the only way to break free is to follow Jesus. Because the whole world is in this spiritual evil darkness. And they're constantly being influenced by forces that they don't see. And then some of us talk about it, and they say, oh, look, I'm crazy Christians. But let me tell you, it's fun to be free from the demons. It's so good to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and not listening to the demons anymore. Now, I'm not saying they won't keep trying to talk to you. That's when you tell them, shut up and go for me in Jesus' name. I want you to go with me to this verse. And I know I've talked about this passage, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. It's been one of my favorites over the years. So I remember the first time I got mocked for talking about Jesus. I was at work, in Arkansas many, many moons ago. And I was new in my walk with the Lord, but I was on fire. And I remember that some of the people at my workplace started, I started hearing them whispering behind the scenes. They didn't realize I could hear them whispering. And then it became kind of open, taunting and mocking. Now, back in those days when I was, you know, brand new out of it, the old dean wasn't quite dead yet. I won't even say what I did one day. I had to repent, though. But then I realized the Lord took me to this verse. And he says this right here. Oh, we'll go to verse 12, I guess. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror. I mean, they're going to try to terrorize you. But don't be afraid of it, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. You see that? Yes, you might suffer for righteousness' sake. But always be ready. Never let it shut you up. Never let it silence you. Always be ready to give an answer. See, that's what they want us to do. They want us to shut up, sit down, be quiet. Why? Because Paul said it's the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save them which believe. Guess what preaching is? Speaking the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, boldly out of your mouth. To a world that doesn't want to hear it. To people that don't want to hear it. Because it's okay that they don't want to hear it. Because at one point, we all didn't want to hear it. But here we are. Hallelujah. I'm glad somebody persisted. I'm glad somebody didn't sit down and be quiet. I'm glad my sweet little great aunts kept telling me about Jesus, kept praying for me. I'm glad that my boss at work was not worried about me suing him over religious discrimination because he was preaching to me every day, every day. Bringing me all kinds of stuff to listen to. And I thank God for him. Mr. David Veracruci, he watches sometimes. The guy that led me back to the Lord. In 1987, we still talk on the phone from time to time. And one day he was really down and depressed, and I told him, David, he said, man, he said, I've had some struggles, and I've not done some things I needed to do. And I said, well, you know where to get forgiveness for that, right? And we were talking about those things, and then I said, man, I said, look at what God did. You led me back to Jesus. And, man, look at the fruit for 35 years. I said, that's your fruit, David. It's amazing. You think one person of Jesus may go out and turn the world upside down. You never know. You might be the one that leads the next Apostle Paul to Jesus. You know, you can't ever tell who you're. That's why we can't shut up. And we can't be afraid. And we can't be silent. And we will not take a knee to lukewarm, watered-down, mega-church, soy boy Christianity. We're not going to do it. These little girly men can keep talking about their little mega-churches and their progressive ideas. Little moderate Mitt Romney's running around. Make sure they got enough grease in their hair. You know what I'm talking about, Faith. It's a sad thing to see some of these little boys selling their souls to be the next Mitt Romney or John McCain out here in the Republican Party. It's really sad to watch. They're trying so hard to climb the ladder. They can't kiss butts fast enough. Hopefully one day they'll become men. Men of God. Women of God. And stop being afraid. See, you either conform to this world or you don't. And I think there's a scripture, if I'm not mistaken, that says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The world system, and especially in the days ahead, it's going to be doing everything it can do to press you into its mold, to get you to conform, to submit. And the pressure is going to be everything from lose your job, lose your bank account. It's going to be everything. Lose your friends, lose your family, maybe lose your home. I mean, they're going to put the pressure on you. Or maybe we just come charge you with a crime and lock you up. You did nothing. You say, oh, Pastor Dean, it couldn't happen in America. Already did, January 6th. There are people in jail that did nothing. Political prisoners right now of one political party. We're turning into Nazi Germany so fast. Make your head spin. Folks, you don't realize the Nazis didn't take over overnight. It was a gradual thing. And that same spirit is in our country right now, just growing and expanding. We have somebody here from Canada. Canada's almost taken over by it completely now. I don't know about India. India about the same, or is it still free? Is there freedom there? Still free? I hope they hold on. The pressure of the United Nations, now they're putting together a new pandemic treaty. Biden's signing on to it. So soon we won't have to worry about Fauci. We're going to have to worry about the UN having authority to shut us down or quarantine you. Come take your guns, put you in a little camp. Now people think, oh, here he goes, conspiracy theory. And yet, I remember a few years ago, you go on the UN website and there was disarmament jobs available for disarmament officers for the United States. Door to door, disarm you. But we know they're probably going to have to bring in foreigners to do that. Foreign peacekeepers, because Americans pretty much aren't going to do that to other Americans. Carbon tax is coming. Social credit scores. You know, in China right now, they're building cages around entire apartment complexes. Think about that. They could turn your apartment building into a prison camp. Just soldiers come up one day, circle it, put together a little fence, and you're in prison. That's why they want to herd everybody into the cities. That's what the 2021 agenda, the 2030 agenda. They want to herd everybody into cities. It's easier then to put a fence around it, make it a prison camp. See who gets food and who doesn't get food. Yeah, we're in 1984. It just took to 2022. The food shortages are growing. Found out this week, one of our largest suppliers of fertilizer, CF Industries, just got told by Union Pacific Railroad that they pretty much can't ship their fertilizer out by rail to farmers right now when they need it right now. Food processing plants burning down everywhere. All this happening at the same time. 5.3 million chickens killed. They're manufacturing a food shortage, a famine. You think about it. When Jesus said, what will be the signs of your coming at the end of the age? In Matthew 24, when they asked him and he said, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Well, here we are, Ukraine. There's the rumors now. China, I just read this morning, North Korea's got a nuclear submarine now so they can creep up wherever they want to. So there's wars and rumors of wars. And he said, pestilences, plagues. Well, we just had the man-made one. The gain-of-function COVID-19, man-made pestilence. We're about to have man-made famine because that's right after he said pestilences, he said famines and earthquakes. So get ready for that. The Lord told me a few years ago there will be an earthquake that hits 10.0. You know, that's never happened before. I think the Japan one, I think they said it was registered around 9. And we saw what it did. 110, especially off the coast of Oregon and California, would put a great area underwater. Put a 10 right there. It's coming, though. We saw what happened in 2004, Sumatra. The Bible tells us there are going to be great earthquakes in diverse places. And all that's been intensifying over the years and increasing, and we're about to see more of that. You say, Pastor Dean, there's that gloom and doom again. I don't care. It's what's in here. I mean, if I'm a doom and gloomer, then Jesus was. Because he just told you what was going to happen. Why did he tell you what was going to happen? Because he didn't want you to be caught unawares. He didn't want you to be caught by surprise. I love how some people think I'm prophesying when I say some of these things. I'm not prophesying. I'll tell you when I am. I do have the gift of prophecy. I do. When God moves on me, I will give you a word of prophecy. But most times, I don't have to prophesy things. I listen to what people say, study what's happening, study the word of God to see what it says about what's going to happen, and then you just go, this is going to happen. It's not that hard, right? That's why the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We just read what Jesus said. Jesus said, the day's coming that there will be people who kill you and think they're serving God, doing God a service to kill you. And he wasn't talking about a false God. There are people going to think they're doing our God a service to get rid of us because they have a twisted, deceived view of it. Christianity, like Roman Catholics do. Gotta love the word, folks. I love this book. I want you to go with me just a little bit over here. Same chapter, 1 Peter. But he says this, and we could have kept reading, but just I want to read verse 17 here where he says this. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So he's saying this, it's far better for us to suffer for well-doing, for doing the will of God, for living righteous, for living holy, than for doing evil. Guess what? In this world, you're going to suffer. There will be suffering, loss, pain. And it's either going to be because you're doing what's right and Satan is attacking you for it and the demons are attacking you and the unsaved or the wicked or the lukewarm Christians are attacking you, or because you're doing wickedness, you're going to suffer for being wicked. He's saying here, it's better you if you're going to suffer like we all are, you for doing the right thing, living for God, living righteously. And I want to go to this to Second Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3. See, this is what the prosperity churches don't tell you. They don't talk about this. That part of Christianity, being a Christian, is suffering and persecution. Wait a minute. I'm sitting here thinking. Second Timothy chapter 3. You know, I read 2 Timothy chapter 3 all the time, but I don't always go to this passage here, verse 12, when he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Guess what the "live godly" verb is there? Anybody wonder? Yes, they got it. Present tense Greek verb. Those who will live, both will and live godly. Present tense Greek verb, ongoing continuous action taking place in the present. If you're going to live godly for Christ Jesus, you shall, not you might, you shall suffer persecution. Now, in the parable of the sower, it says the one who suffered persecution was the one that the seed fell on the stony ground. And their roots didn't go down deep. And so when the sun rose and beat down upon it, it said it withered away. Well, it talks about that being, and it goes on to explain, Jesus explained it, that means those who get persecuted for the word's sake. So he's telling us that there are some people that the seed of the word of God is going to go in the ground. They're going to begin to grow. They're going to spring up. But they're not going to get their root system down deep enough. And so when they begin to be persecuted, they're going to fall away. They're going to give in to it. That's what Jesus said there's going to be. You know, and Paul said there's going to be a falling away in the last days, a departure from faith. Now, there's people out there who believe, oh, I'm once saved, always saved, no matter how I live. No, the Bible says you can depart from the faith. In fact, put up 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let me just add in here, giving in to persecution. I know there's been people that give in to the persecution. I can't tell you. They'll say it in their heart and their mind. I can't take it anymore. I just want to live in peace. I just want to go home. And I want to go to work and come home. I just want peace. You can trade a temporary peace. I wish I had my white hanky up here. You can surrender. You know, you can wave the white flag. Bring it to me. Come on, pretty girl. Yeah. So you can wave the white flag of surrender to persecution and say, I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to shut up. I can't take the arguing or the debate or the division or the strife. I just won't talk about Jesus anymore. I just won't live for him anymore. And that's why I read earlier when Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, in my words, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Well, I'm going to tell you, on Judgment Day, you do not want the Lord looking at you going, God's called his people to be bold. We're to be bold as lions, folks. Bold as lions. You know why they call lions the king of the jungle? Because they are afraid of nothing in the jungle. That's why they lay there so peacefully. Like, really? You want some of this? they're fully confident in. There's nothing in this jungle that can take me down. At least not without getting cut up, chewed up. Yeah, y'all know how fierce a little house cat can be. Can you imagine a lion going crazy? Y'all see some of those videos of those people trying to catch those cats? They wrap around their leg. They got them, man. Sinking his claws in them teeth. They're like little vice grips. Can you imagine a lion doing that? They're a big cat. And he says, we should be bold as lions. See, boldness is not pride. With us, we're not really the lion. It says we're bold as lions. Let me tell you why we're bold. It's because the lion of the tribe of Judah is right behind us. I'm bold because he's got my back. If I didn't have him, what could we do? Nothing. Boy, this life would be so miserable. And folks, you have Jesus. If you're born again, if you know you're saved, then Jesus Christ is living in you. Let him live through you. Let the lion of the tribe of Judah live through you. Fear nothing. Fear no one. I don't care if you're going to lose everything, because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver and the gold is his. He can get you money out of a fish's mouth. He says, I know everything about you. He cares about the sparrows. I mean, think about this. God's watching every little sparrow. He knows when it dies, one dies. There is not a thing in his creation that goes unnoticed or that's not cared about. Nothing. How much more you? And me. This is why people have to know the Creator, not just some God out there, some false God or false religion. To know the Creator, he's the one that loves us. He's the one that's made the way for us. He's the one that says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He's the one that says, follow me and I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's the one that calls himself the Comforter. I'll comfort you. He's the one that calls himself the Spirit of Truth. I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. When all men, when everybody, your family, anybody else forsakes you, he won't. I mean, I love the scripture where it says, "The Father, when your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up." He loves us. A lot of people are going to come apart because they're going to think, well, my life's not going perfect, so God must not love me. You don't understand. If that's your mentality, you do not understand. I mean, let's think about these children up here, mine, you know. We never want anything to happen to them. We're so afraid something might happen to you, you just keep them locked up in the house. No, they need to be out there running around. Skinning their knees, breaking their arms. Like me, getting bit by water moccasins. My mom finally just gave me her Blue Cross Blue Shield card. Said, just go when you got to go. Don't wake me up at 2:00 in the morning anymore. And I did. I got bit by the water moccasin. I took myself to the hospital. But what I'm getting at is, hey, we can't go through life without skin in the knee. You know? And the Lord's not going to keep us from that. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Some of us were mistreated, abused mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually. You got to forgive those that hurt you. We got to forgive parents who made mistakes. No parents are perfect anyway. And you got to let Jesus be the healer of your broken heart, the one that binds up the wounds. You got to let him do it. And sometimes, look, I remember when my heart was broken a number of years ago. I mean, I finally understood it. I didn't really, you know, I'm not, this stuff, you know, you 15 years old and your girlfriend breaks up with you, that's not a broken heart. That's teenage hormones. But when you really get your heart broken, it's broken. You can't fix it. And I couldn't fix it. There's nothing I could do to fix it. But you know what I did for several years? I kept crying out to the Lord. I kept going to that place of prayer and saying, Lord, you have to heal my heart. I can't fix it. Please heal my heart. And we're all going to have people betray us. In fact, you know, the journey you go through with the Lord, you go through this journey, and, you know, he said to take up our cross and follow him, right? But it's the whole journey. And you don't get to the taking up the cross part until there's a Judas in your life. And a Judas has to be someone that you trusted. And betrayal is part of the process that Jesus went through. Basically, Jesus said, hey, well, look, what they've done to me, they'll do to you. Well, they betrayed him. He got betrayed by a person he called friend. A person that he ate with for 3 years. Went camping with. Hung out with. Went to church with. You ever been betrayed by somebody like that? Let me see your hands. Rest of you are liars. Somebody done got you some point. But that's the process you go through. In fact, the Lord told me that. When I had my heart broken, he's like, this is part of the process, son. And I said, but Lord, I prayed for that. And he was like, yeah, and Jesus prayed all night and picked the 12, and one of them was Judas. And who led Jesus to pick the 12? The Holy Spirit led him to pick the 12. Judas was there for a purpose. And your Judas that's been in your life is there for a purpose. Because what the Lord's trying to work in you, he's not worried about what all these other people decide to do. What he's working in you is for you to get to the point you're carrying the cross, and then you allow yourself to be crucified with Christ, yet you live. Right? And it's not easy. Ain't nothing easy about this. Nothing about obeying Jesus. Ain't nothing easy about living the true Christian life, folks. Nothing easy. But it's worth it all. This life is a short time. And believe you me, you want to talk about the best revenge on anybody? You know what the old saying is, right? The best revenge is living well. When your enemies see, they're doing okay. I'm not so okay anymore. Because they'll start reaping what they have sown. And that's why God says, love your enemies and bless those who curse you, because they're in trouble. Let's stand this morning. The persecution is going to rise. And you know what? It may turn physical at some point, even in America. Oh, what was that song we did? I want to do Lover of My Soul again. And this morning, look, I know there's some people. I don't have to have a word of knowledge this morning. I know there's some of you that got some some pain, some hurt, some situations where you've been forsaken, abandoned, betrayed. And I've walked through it myself on more than one occasion. And you got people running their mouths about you. I want you to let Jesus, and I'm not calling you up here this morning, because you know what? I don't want you to think anything that I have anything to do with this. Because it's Jesus is your healer. He's the one, only one, that can heal your broken heart and give you strength. And as we do this song, if that's you this morning, begin to cry out and believe for the Lord to be the healer of your heart. And hopefully you won't go through it as long as I did. I think mine was about 6 or 7 years. One trial I've walked through, one painful thing that I've walked through has been since pastoring this church, and it's gone on for about 9 years. You say, Pastor Dean, that doesn't encourage me. Let me tell you something, though. I didn't stay upset about it and hurt about it for 9 years. That's the difference. Because I kept crying out, Lord, help me forgive them, love them, move on from this, heal this. And he did. He helped me do it. So let's do this song this morning. And look, whatever you do, don't get angry at God about what you're going through.
Living here has caused me pain, things I just don't understand. Must recount your faithfulness and the mercy of your hand. When everything is said and done, and there's nothing left to say, the cross of Christ is proof enough you are good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy, Lord, has pierced my heart. It brings me to my knees. Reverent fear, I'll trust your ways and worship at your feet. Everything is said and done, and there's nothing left to say. The cross of Christ is proof enough. You are good. You are. You are good. Yes, you are, Lord. You are good. You are.
You're the keeper of my heart.
apart, Lord. Nobody else cares for me. You always love me. There's nobody like you. The earth or heaven above. Nobody like you, Lord. Your mercy, Lord, has pierced my heart. It brings me to my knees. In reverent fear, I'll trust your ways and worship at your feet. When everything is said and done, and there's nothing left to say, the cross of Christ is proof enough. You are good.
You are.
You are.
Yes, you are.
You are.
Say it again. You are good, Lord.
You are.
Once again, I pour out. that are true and the hope that is real. Right now I feel your touch, Jesus. Feel your touch. You bring freedom to all that's within. In the safety of this place.
Come on, sing it out to me. Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise him in this place. We are in love with you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We're thankful for you. Lord, we rejoice in you. You are wonderful. No matter what we're going through, no matter what our hearts are going through, we will not allow ourselves to be offended with you or to be angry with you. You said in this world we would have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, that you have overcome the world. You told us, Lord, through the Apostle Paul, he said he was thankful in all things, not for all things, but thankful in all things, because you're working all things together for our good. To those who love you, those who are called according to your purpose, you're working all things together for good, even the bad things. And we thank you, and we praise you this morning. And we thank you that you're the healer of our hearts. You're the strength of our hearts. As David said, he put his hope in you because you would strengthen his heart. Strengthen each and every heart this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
God is good. En français. Bonjour les bons tous les temps. All right. Well, I hope you've been encouraged this morning, even with the doom and gloom. We're going to shine as lights in the midst of the darkness. We're going to be bold as a lion. Amen. We're not going to fear what they fear. They're going to be shocked. You know, when John Wesley came to the United States in about 1735. He was not saved. He thought he was a Christian, but he was not born again. And he came here to be a missionary to the Native Americans here in the territory of Georgia. And he was a miserable failure because, you know, you need to be saved to get other people saved. And he was a miserable failure, and he was on the ship headed back to England. And they got in a terrible storm. And he was terrified. Terrified. But there were some Moravian Christians on the ship who were truly born again, who had the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living in them. And as the storm got worse, you know what they started doing? Singing. And he noticed that they had no fear of death. No fear. And he knew something was wrong with him. So when they got back safely, he went to their Bible study. And they were studying the book of Romans. And he said that's when he believed and trusted God and was born again, because he said he felt his heart strangely warmed. And from there, that man turned the world upside down. He was one of the leading revivalists that led up to, I mean, with the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening, and led up to the founding of America. And I want to tell you right now, it's because he saw Christians not afraid. In the midst of a storm, praising and thanking God instead of whimpering in fear and crying and whining and moaning and groaning and taking a knee. They're watching us, folks. They want to see if it's real. It's real. All you have to do is be real, and people will see it. Hug some necks before you leave. If you're going to stay and eat, you know what to do. Go get you something, come back.